Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
Has to be named later. I'm Chris Willis. I'm joined again by my good friend Stephen Talbert. Stephen, it's a tough ball game tonight. Tough outcome. The Braves now have fell to the Nationals 3-2. 10 innings. The Mets won. Back to a game back in the NL East standings. Big series coming up this weekend. Yeah, it was a tough night. Offense has been rolling in those first two games in Washington, but not so much tonight. What do you think about tonight's loss?
What's up, Chris? It's good to be back on with you, buddy. It's always fun to do these. Obviously, it's better to do them on a win than a loss, but you know, the Braves had a good stretch. They had won four in a row coming off that rough stretch they had at the beginning of the Philly series, and it really looked like they were going to pull off a sweep. The bats just didn't really show up tonight, which is unfortunate. But yeah, now they're a game back, and it gets a lot more complicated. We'll get into all the ramifications of being a game back now as that series starts. But it's a lot more complicated. The Braves really have a lot less margin of error. So it was a very big deal, the results tonight, and it's just made life that much more difficult.
It's difficult when you feel like you have to go out and win every single night. I mean, you know, as you sit here, I'm as disappointed as anybody watching that game. I mean, after the way they hit the ball the first two games of that series, I mean, Josiah Gray comes in with an ERA over 5 and a FIP at nearly 6, and gives up, I think, 2 hits. One of them was a home run to Matt Olson, and, you know, you just never could even get anything going. And then when you have the chance in the 10th, a runner at third, one out, and your 2 and 3 hitter coming up, and you don't score, you know, the writing's on the wall. I know they pulled one of those out in Philadelphia over the weekend, but that doesn't happen that often. As when you miss that opportunity to score too often in extra innings with the ghost runner at second, you know, it seldom ends well. But you know, tough loss. They've got a 3-game series coming up this weekend that they can erase some of that. It's going to be a tough road ahead of.
Offense is just so fickle sometimes, because the Braves just look like absolute world beaters the first two games against Washington. They've hit Washington really well all year. I mean, they hit just a ton of home runs off Washington this year, and Josiah Gray's had a pretty rough season. And, you know, for some reason, though, the Braves just can't seem to figure him out. And only scored 2 runs off him, or only scored 1 run off him, 2 runs total. So, yeah, just really disappointing. I mean, there's really no other word for it. I think Brad and Scott talked about this a little bit on the main show, but, you know, with the way the Braves started in April and May and how good the Mets have been this year, you know, this is probably going to be over a 100-win division winner. There's just no margin for error. I mean, you know, winning 2 out of 3 typically is pretty good. You really can't ask for much more than that. Baseball is not like other sports. 2 out of 3 is a really good outcome. But, you know, when you're an under 500 team in April and May and the Mets are really, really good, then you just don't have any margin for error. As good as the Braves have played for the last 4 months, they have no margin. They have no room to kind of slip up like this. So life is definitely going to get more difficult.
You know, and I think when we look back on this season, no matter what happens, you're going to look at April and May and think about, you know, if they just played 500, you know, or a little bit better than 500, or if, you know, if they'd have gotten off to a great start, just thinking about where they might be right now as far as that goes. I mean, you know, just looking at how they got here, I think it's, you know, it's when you look at the big picture, I mean, it's kind of amazing that they're in this spot. I mean, they're one game back. They've won 97 games. They were 10.5 games back on June 1st. The Mets have won 7 of 9. We all remember that five-game series in New York that was just where it felt like it was over. I mean, I was told repeatedly it was over. I'm sure you were told the same. You know, and then they come back to Truist Park a week later and take 3 out of 4, you know, kind of start chipping away. You know, this whole season's kind of been amazing. And, I mean, just for the reasons you said. I mean, when you look at that 97-59 record, you think – You don't want to get the way, especially the way they've dominated the Nationals. You know, they've beaten them. I don't remember. I don't have the season series in front of me, but I know it was very lopsided. You know, you shouldn't be broken up about a loss like this. But at the same time, you know, when you look at the big picture and you see where the Mets are at, I mean, they can't afford losses like this. And you know, that's the kind of thing you hear in, you know, in the NFL and NBA and stuff. But, you know, over 162-game season, you don't hear that much in baseball. But that's kind of the way it's felt. Now, I think even back into August, you know, in a lot of ways, I mean, it's been like they've been hanging by a thread, even though they were piling up all these wins.
And I do think that's going to actually end up helping them in the postseason. You know, Jeff was talking about this tonight on the broadcast, but the Braves have had seasons before where they clinched really early and then shut it down for a week or whatever and then had to try to ramp back up, and it didn't really work. And then last year the Braves really had to fight and claw all the way to the end and, you know, won the World Series. Now, it's not always that simple. Just because you have to fight and claw doesn't mean you're going to win the World Series every time you do it, but I do think having to play this tight division race all the way down to the end is going to end up helping the team just kind of easily transition into the postseason. You know, even if it's the wild card round, which it very well could be, you know, having had to play basically playoff baseball for the last 2 months, you know, it's not going to be a really big deal for them to you know, they're not going to have to try to turn on a switch. So I do think it will help. And it's going to help the Mets, too. The Mets have had to do the same thing. I mean, they've had to grind over every game for the last 2 months. So I think both teams will actually end up benefiting from it when it comes to the postseason.
That's a good point. And in the NL East, it's been that way, you know, pretty much since the Braves caught fire. You know, by the end of June, July, right around in there, you know, these games have been meaningful, and it feels like they've been that way, you know, all the way through. New York pull away, Braves start chipping back at it. I mean, I wouldn't be terribly surprised. I know the Dodgers have they've put up a big over 100 wins. They're going to clinch the number one. They're certainly not going to be a pushover for anybody in the postseason. But I mean, I wouldn't be terribly surprised if you had, you know, if the Braves and the Mets were in the LCS. I don't think that would be too surprising, even, you know, depending, it doesn't really matter who wins the division or not. I think there's a chance for that to happen. Obviously, whoever has to go through Los Angeles is going to have the bigger task ahead of them. But, you know, just like for those reasons, I mean, here it's going to be interesting to see how the Dodgers do this because they've had that division locked up for a while. I know they're playing for the top seed, but, I mean, they've got a several game lead over that as well. So, you know, that theory or, you know, observation is going to be put to the test a little bit. And, you know, I do think it's worthy. I agree. I thought that was one of the big differences in the Braves last year was they played all the way to the end, may have had one day to rest, and then it was right back to the grind, you know, and that should benefit them. I think it will. I think it will benefit them. But, you know, it's not over by any stretch. Braves got 3 games this coming up this weekend against the Mets. If you look at their September records, Atlanta's 17-8 after tonight's loss. The Mets are 15-10. I think what's notable in there was they're 2-6 against the Marlins, Cubs, and Nationals. The Braves play the Mets and then have a 3-game series in Miami. The Mets are in Atlanta and then finish up the season against the Nationals. So, you know, that's kind of setting the stage. Mets haven't played quite as well as what we've seen, you know, through different stretches of this season. You know, I think they've got some question marks in the back end of their rotation. But unfortunately for this coming series, you know, you're not going to see the back end of that rotation. The bullpen, you know, I don't think it's strong, but they've got arguably the best closer in the game at the back side. So, you know, what are you kind of looking for as this series coming in? You know, like I said, New York's not playing their best, but they've played well enough. And, you know, and that's kind of – they're going to need that to continue through this weekend.
I mean, if we're being honest about it, the only reason this is still a race is because the Mets really kind of wet the bed, you know, in some pretty easy series in September. I think they got swept by the Cubs at home, and they lost 2 out of 3 to Washington at home. I know, obviously, they just split the series with Miami. They lost to Pittsburgh. So, you know, the Mets could have put this away a long time ago if they just could beat some really bad teams at home. But, you know, they didn't do it, and that's why the Braves still have a chance, even a game back with, you know, 6 games to play. But, you know, the number one thing I'm looking at in this series specifically is the Braves pitchers, specifically their starting pitchers, have to – shove. I mean, you know, the Mets run prevention, I've talked about this before, but the 2022 Mets actually remind me quite a bit of the last year's Brewers team that the Braves played in the NLDS. You know, they're just really good at run prevention, you know, with DeGrom and Scherzer specifically, just like with, you know, Corbin Burns and Brandon Woodruff last year with Milwaukee. When you have to face those two guys, you're just not going to score a lot of runs. And then, and, you know, you have Diaz on the back end, who just doesn't give up anything and a lot of times can pitch multiple innings, so he can really shorten a game. And, you know, it's very, very difficult to score runs against this team. And so the counter to that is your starting pitchers have to shove. I mean, they have to hold, you know, they have to hold the Mets to 1, 2, 3 runs really at the most. You don't really want to be giving up 4 and 5 because – there's just no guarantee you're going to be able to score that against this staff. So that's the thing I'm looking for. You know, I really wish Spencer Strider could pitch in this series. That's a huge bummer. It's a big break for the Mets. You know, Strider's been easily one of the two best pitchers on the team this year, along with Max. So, but yeah, Max and Kyle Wright and Charlie Morton are just going to have to shove. I mean, there's just no other way around it. They're going to have to pitch really well. The bats, you're just going to have to squeak out runs when you can. I mean, you get a runner at second, you need to get him in. You know, you get a hanging breaking ball, you don't need to miss it. You need to try to launch it out of the ballpark if you can. You know, oftentimes when you're facing really good pitching, the best thing to do is actually, you know, aim for the fences and try to hit home runs, because you're really not going to stack a lot of big innings and multiple hits in a row off great pitching. Oftentimes the best thing to do is just try to hit homers. And so the Braves are going to have to kind of squeak out runs where they can, but the pitching staff, the starting, specifically the starters, but the bullpen too, you know, they have to shove. They have to win the matchup against the Mets offense, because that's the weakest part of the Mets team is their offense. And, you know, if as long as you don't let Alonso beat you, then, you know, you could really, there's a lot of outs to get in that lineup. And, you know, you're going to have the home field advantage. You're going to have 40,000 people screaming, you know, in your favor. You're obviously going to get the bat last. So, but the pitching staff has got to show up in a big way, because the Braves have to sweep. I mean, we're kind of to the point now where the Braves really need a sweep. They can't afford to drop one of these. Even if they just drop one, then that's the tiebreaker. The tiebreaker goes to the Mets if the Braves lose even one of these games. So, yeah, the pitching staff is where I'm most focused, because they're the guys that need to shove hardest for the Braves to have any chance at sweeping the series.
Yeah, let's look at the pitching matchups for the series. I don't think the Mets have made this official yet. They may have after the game ended tonight, but I haven't seen it yet. But what's expected to happen? The Braves did announce their starters. You're going to get Max Fried on Friday night, Kyle Wright Saturday, and Charlie Morton Sunday. I think it's expected the Mets are going to go with Chris Bassett Friday, and then DeGrom and Scherzer in that order. But obviously that's not official. I don't have that right in front of me. But, you know, the Braves with Fried, they gave him some extra rest. He was scheduled, would have started on turn Tuesday's game in Washington. They opted to start Kyle Muller there, start and bring Fried back on Friday. I think there's a reason for that. We'll talk about it a little bit later. But Fried would have went, would have pitched Sunday's game had they not skipped his start in Washington. He would have been on turn for that. So, you know, giving him extra rest, I think it's always good. He's been a little up and down with the Mets this season. But, you know, like you said, I think the biggest thing for them, for the starters is and all, is you just can't walk guys early. You can't afford to get down 3-0 early. And, you know, they did a better job of that in those in that series at Truist Park. But, you know, the series up in New York, that's where it was. You know, it was just running up pitch counts, you know, bases loaded jams early on. You know, they just can't afford that this weekend. You know, there's no way, and I expect, you know, I kind of expect Snicker to play it with a quicker hook. You know, you may not see that quite as much with Fried and Kyle Wright, but I think with Charlie Morton, it's definitely going to be in play with the way he's pitched of late, you know. So, you know, I think they need to be mindful of it. You know, I'm not convinced that you're going to see a guy like Morton just go two times through the order. But when he starts that third time, you know, I think they need to have the bullpen ready. And, you know, it'll be interesting. It is another thing, you know, DeGrom was hit pretty hard last time out in Oakland by a team that's not very, you know, the offense. I think the Braves have already beaten Chris Bassett. So, you know, they've beaten DeGrom too, obviously in that series in Atlanta, although he was electric until he gave up a home run to Dansby Swanson. You know, Max Scherzer, they've had success in the past, but this season, he's been pretty lights out against Atlanta. So, you know, any of these particular pitching matchups jump out at you? I mean, I think Atlanta's got the edge in game one, Fried over Bassett. You know, the Mets are going to be favored in the next two games, but, you know, they've had success there, and we understand, you know, if you could just get those starters out of the game, then, you know, maybe the Braves have the edge with the bullpen.
You can't sweep unless you win the first game, right? I mean, that's, you have to set the tone, so. You know, and if they do end up going with Bassett in game one against Max, then that's, on paper at least, that's your best matchup. You're not going to get a better matchup than that. So you absolutely have to win game one. You know, put pressure on the Mets, put pressure on DeGrom, put pressure on Scherzer to come out and shove, because they know that the Braves need a sweep. And, you know, if you win game one, then the pressure just mounts and mounts and mounts. And so that first game, it's all about setting the tone. You know, we need the very best version of Max. I don't think Max has had, you know, Max got off to that amazing start. I don't think he's had the greatest of second halves. I think he's had a lot of outings in the second half where he's not really had his best stuff, you know, kind of fighting it. And it seems like he's pitching mad all the time these days just because he's not pitching at his very best. But, you know, they need his very best. They need vintage, you know, 2021 World Series Max Fried to show up. And, you know, if you take game one, if you can get game one, then you really do put pressure on them. You know, the media starts talking. Obviously, if you win game one, then the division is tied again since, you know, obviously they're going to start the series down a game. So if you win game one, you're tied. Then all the pressure shifts to the Mets. So, yeah, the game on Friday, I'm assuming it's on Friday. We'll get to the weather stuff in a minute. But the game on Friday is the biggest game of the year, and it's not even remotely close.
Yeah, and then when it's over, Saturday becomes the biggest game of the year and so on for the Braves as far as this goes. You know, you're right about Fried. I mean, it's one of those, if you look back, I mean, he lost a 1-0 game in Philadelphia. Got through five innings, but I think he threw a season high in pitches. You know, it's 107, 109. So, you know, you need him to turn in innings. I mean, that's just one of those things. You don't want to be turning it over to the bullpen in the fifth or sixth inning of a Max Fried start. So, you know, that's going to be interesting to see. I think that's where tonight really stunk. There was a moment there where the Braves tied that game up. The Marlins had a 4-2 lead, a 4-0 lead, and then a 4-2 lead going into the late innings in New York. And you were thinking, you know, if the Braves could somehow come out of this and, with a win and be a game up going into the series, you know, with Max Fried going Friday night, you had a really good chance to put a ton of pressure on the Mets. at that point. But, you know, obviously it didn't work out that way. So now the back's kind of against the wall, and they're going to have to figure out how to come back out of it.
Tonight was your margin of error, right? If you win this game tonight, then you don't necessarily have to sweep to still be okay. And, you know, they didn't win tonight. They lost. So that's your margin of error out the window. And, you know, Max, you're right about his last start in Philly. I think he only gave up one run, but like you said, it was 100 pitches through five innings, which is very unlike him. And they can't really have that against New York. They need him to be vintage. They need a vintage outing. And I do agree with you. I think Snit's probably going to manage this like a postseason series. I think you'll see the bullpen start getting loose and warmed up probably in the fourth or fifth inning of most of these games, especially with Wright and Morton on the mound, who you don't trust as much as you do Max. And, you know, if there's any trouble, especially if you're starting to get to that third time through the order, then I think he'll pull the trigger. I really do. I think he doesn't do that a lot famously, but, you know, one of the reasons he doesn't do that a lot is so that he can do it this time of year. And, you know, this is, for all intents and purposes, a playoff game or a playoff series. So this is basically decides who gets to not play the wild card round, right? Who gets to advance to the NLDS. And so this is a playoff series, and I think Snit will treat it like that, or at least I hope he does. It's just too big of an advantage to win the division to not treat this like three absolute must-win games.
Yeah, I think that's what goes without saying. And, you know, we kind of saw it in this series against Washington a little bit, you know, the way they've managed the bullpen, even with, you know, 8-2 lead Tuesday night, with the Mets losing, you know, they had Iglesias warming up late until they tacked on a couple more runs. So, you know, I think for sure you're going to see like postseason play. And if one of those starters really gets in trouble early, you know, they may be out early, and you know, that's the way they've got to approach it. I do, before we take a break here, I do want to mention one reason we're focused on the sweep is because the Mets actually have the tiebreaker advantage by the head-to-head. In past years, if it was tied, we could have got game 163, but that is gone now from Major League Baseball. It was in the rule changes this year. So just a clarification, you know, you can't get that extra game at the end to decide it all on the field. Now it's going to be decided. It's going to be decided kind of on the spreadsheet, going that way. So, you know, that's a little unfortunate. But you know, it is crazy. Major League Baseball plays 162 games, and you know, it's going to come down to the end, and it does that a lot. It seems like the wild card race in NL is not completely set yet, and this would have been the final series of the season if not for the owner's lockout, you know. And man, what a great story that would have been if this was the last three games.
I'm glad it wasn't the last three games, because obviously the Braves would have been, you know, they would have been in the wild card. So but yeah, it is funny how you play for 6 months, you play 160 games, or at this point 157 games, and, you know, or 56 games, I guess. But yeah, you get all this way and you're still, you know, a game, half a game, tied. You know, it hasn't happened a lot to the Braves in the division lately. You know, the Braves have kind of owned this division for the last 4 years, and they really haven't had a ton of these really tight races. They did last year, but that was mainly because everybody was kind of crappy, you know, all season, and nobody could really separate. But this is really the first time a team has pushed them, and you know, the Braves are going to win more games this year than they have won at any point in the Alex Anthopoulos era. And they just kind of run into a hot division opponent who's had a great year. And any other year, this team would have won the division going away. And so that's baseball. That happens. Sometimes you know, it's like the Dodgers and Giants last year. The Dodgers won like 104 games last year, I think, and didn't win the division. You know, and we don't talk about that a lot, but you know, when the NLCS started last year, the Dodgers had to come to Atlanta for the first two games. And the reason they did is because the Braves won the division and the Dodgers didn't, even though the Dodgers won like 17 more games than the Braves did last year. You know, that that helped a lot. The fact that the Braves got home field last year in the NLCS helped a lot. So it is funny how it works. That's just baseball. But, yeah, it's going to be – I mean, obviously, it's just going to be a massive, massive series.
Another big subplot of this series coming up is obviously the weather. You know, our prayers go out to those in Florida that's been impacted by Hurricane Ian. I think speculation started probably Monday. You know, I've seen everything on Twitter from this series was absolutely getting moved. There's no way they were going to play it. To, you know, I think now there's at least an option to play it. Anthony DiComo of the MLB.com had an article yesterday that the Major League Baseball, Braves, and the Mets were exploring options. It doesn't sound like moving the series up to Thursday. Thursday's off day. Both teams have a mutual off day tomorrow, actually, as we're recording this. But that wasn't something they were considering. Seems like there might be an option for the most likeliest option would be Friday's game getting bumped up to the afternoon. And then, you know, from there, they just see what happens. Saturday, I think the last forecast I saw, Saturday was the worst day. You could possibly do a doubleheader Sunday. Complicating things is I think ESPN has the Sunday night game. This whole series is on national TV after Friday. Bally Sports Southeast got a Friday game. Saturday's on Fox, and then Sunday's ESPN. So, you know, a lot of things going on with the weather. Obviously, we don't know where that's going to go. It looked like a lot of the worst stuff was probably going to push off to the east. But, you know, obviously that could change with this. You never know how that's going to go. But, you know, what are your thoughts on this? And I know there was a report. That's something else we wanted to talk about. In New York Post, Mike Piuma tweeted today that the Mets approached Braves about playing on Thursday, and the Braves declined. And there's actually a pretty good reason for that, which I thought it was pretty funny that the Mets put that out there, of course. You know, going in, got everybody all stirred up. But, you know, what are your thoughts on the weather coming into this weekend?
Yeah, that whole thing today was really silly. I don't know if obviously anybody that follows us on Twitter kind of tracked all that with us. But, yeah, there was a report, obviously, that the Mets had offered to move up their game to a 4 o'clock game today so that the Braves and Mets could play tomorrow. Ahead of the weather, and the very end of the tweet just said the Braves declined, basically, which I thought was funny because, I mean, the Braves were always going to decline that. Any team in the Braves situation would have declined that. You know, the Braves have played 13 straight games. This is their only off day for, you know, between the September 15th and the end of the season, which is October 6th. This is their only off day tomorrow. So the Braves were never ever going to give that off day up. The Mets have had like three off days this week or in the last week alone, and the Braves haven't had any, so there was no chance the Braves were going to do that. And you know, if you look at the forecast, it's really, like you just said, it's improved quite a bit. I think the storm went further east or is going further east than the original projections, and I think Atlanta's going to get rain. I mean, everybody's going to get rain, but it's not supposed to be this, you know, end of the world event that a lot of Mets fans are claiming it's going to be. You know, there was a lot of like, how in the world could the Braves make the Mets play in a Category 5 hurricane? It's like, that's just the dumbest thing. I mean, first of all, that's not how hurricanes work. You know, once it gets on land, it rapidly becomes not a hurricane, but that's beside the point. But yeah, it looks like the weather is at least going to be tenable. I think there's probably a good chance that they end up playing all three games this weekend. I don't know if they'll play one game each day. I think there's probably a pretty decent chance they play a doubleheader on Sunday. But, you know, that's not the worst case in the world. That's a lot of series end with doubleheaders because one of the games got rained out. So, you know, this idea that the biggest series of the year needs to be moved because there might be a little rain is nonsense, quite frankly. And I'm not surprised the Braves declined. I don't even think the Mets were surprised the Braves declined. I don't even know if the Mets actually did that. That whole thing seemed kind of suspicious, to be honest, and you have to consider the source. But, yeah, I don't think the weather is going to end up being that big a deal this weekend. And I think one way or the other, they'll get all three games in by Sunday.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, I think one other thing that was possibly floated out there was a possible makeup game on October 6th, which would not be that would not be very good for either team, probably, especially whoever ends up playing in the wild card, because that would essentially erase their off day. But, you know, I think after tonight's loss and coming into that, needing to sweep now, you know, that it's still possible that they would need to do that. But I think, you know, that would be a complete washout for this weekend. And, you know, at this point, I think they can get it in at some point, at least get five innings in. You know, I had somebody ask me today, well, of course the Braves wanted to do this because if there's a long rain delay, there's a chance you get Scherzer or DeGrom out of there after two or three innings. And, you know, I guess that is possible. You know, and I
sign me up.
Yeah, I mean, you know, sorry, you know, it was too bad this series wasn't in Citi Field. But, you know, again, you know, I do think, you know, the Mets have Diaz, and I do think, but I do think the Braves bullpen's better on the whole, even with when you factor in the struggles that Kinley's had and Tyler Matze not being what he was last season. I still think this Braves bullpen's better than the Mets. So, you know, if that happens, that's an advantage for Atlanta, but, you know, I don't think anybody's scheming that at this point. You know, they're just, you know, this is the most anticipated series of the year. I mean, I imagine these tickets sold out a long time ago. The Braves will want to play this game in front of their fans and you know, in their own ballpark, and you know, short of that storm just setting down on top of the stadium, that's what's going to happen. That's what needs to happen.
Aside from the on-field advantages of playing at home, obviously you get to bat last, you get to sleep in your own bed, all of that stuff. You know, there's substantial financial incentives for playing. I mean, these are essentially playoff games. They're going to be – tickets are going to be priced like playoff games. Concessions are going to be priced like playoff games. You know, merchandise, all of that. This is essentially a playoff series. And we know what happened last year. The Braves won the World Series – played a ton of home playoff games, and their payroll skyrocketed this offseason. Like these kind of series have huge financial impacts on these organizations. So, yeah, and the weather forecast being a lot more mild than it was, this was always going to be the case. They were always going to play these three games in Atlanta.
Shifting gears a little bit, let's talk about, you know, the Braves are coming into this series pretty healthy. I think, you know, it was kind of scary in that Philly series, you know, when Ronald Acuna set out the first three games of what was described as a sore back. But, you know, he looks like he's back. I think he even said after last night's game that, you know, he was getting closer to feeling like his normal self again. The Mets, I believe, Starlin Marte is still out with a finger injury. I think he took a pitch on the finger. Last thing I saw from him was that he had a CT scan. It was showing progress, but, you know, there wasn't really any update from that he's just trying to do as much baseball-related activity as he can, which the way I kind of read that was maybe he's back. You know, he could be back this weekend. He might not be back till a week or two into the postseason. Who knows? You know, at this point, they're not really – they've been kind of cryptic as far as that goes. But, you know, how do you feel about the – you know, we talked about the pitching, but, you know, the position player roster now. We've seen Michael Harris bumped up in the order. Orlando Arcia is kind of playing a little bit more at second base. Looks like William Contreras probably – I'm going to guess slots in as the DH you know, for at least two of these games, and maybe catches the third. You know, how do you kind of feel about the two rosters heading into this?
One thing that's interesting to me is the lineup construction, because Snit's been tinkering with the lineup a little bit in this Washington series. He had Michael Harris batting fourth. He had him batting third tonight. So I'm very interested to see what they do with the lineup. You know, they're going to face three right-handed pitchers, obviously, in Bassett, DeGrom, and Scherzer. And so how you stack your lefties, you know, matters. And how you stack your lefties relative to how they employ their bullpen later in the game matters. So that's probably the most interesting aspect to me. You know, the health stuff is a bummer. You know, obviously the Mets are without Marte, or supposedly without Marte, I guess. We don't know that for a fact. The Braves are definitely without Strider, and that's the biggest injury of the whole series. You know, Strider has, you know, been one of the two or three best pitchers in baseball since he joined the rotation, and so not having him for this series is obviously a big disadvantage for the Braves. I'm very interested to see how the lineup rolls out. I don't know if Michael Harris is going to stay at the top. You know, there's some interesting things you can do with him. You could even potentially bat him second if you wanted to, bat him third. He hasn't done that yet. He did third tonight, I think, for the first time. But so that's going to be the thing I probably look at most is, you know, was this lineup tinkering these last two games in Washington? Was that just trying to get Riley and Olson going? Or, you know, is this something he's legitimately looking at doing for, you know, the biggest series of the year?
Yeah, no, I think it's worth mentioning, too, you know, Matt Olson's in a prolonged slump in the second half, but, you know, he showed signs of life of late on this road trip. I thought he had, all in that Philadelphia series, I thought he had a lot better at bats than, and still wasn't getting a lot of results, but hit a couple homers in Washington, had two hits Wednesday night with another solo home run. It's good to see him kind of coming back out of it. I've seen him walk a few more times, not chasing quite as bad, and I think that's just what got him in that rut. You know, he was walking, had that double-digit walk rate early on in the season, and he just wouldn't chase, you know, and he was punishing balls in the strike zone. But as the second half, I think as he started to press more and more, he was just chasing more and more out of the strike zone. And, you know, it's just once you get in a rut like that, it's just really hard to get out of it. They need to get Austin Riley going now. But, you know, have you seen enough from Olson this last couple of weeks to feel a little bit better about that situation?
Yeah, I mean, it was really good to see him get some results in Washington. You know, obviously he had the two homers. He had a home run tonight. It was an opposite field homer too, which is always good to see. It means he's really watching the ball. And like you said, he had some walks, which means he's seeing the ball better. That's always, you know, with these great players, Acuna is the same way. When you see them start walking and really taking a lot of pitches out of the zone, because that's where pitchers go to get these guys out. I mean, these guys hit, these guys crush the ball. So, you know, the best way to get them out is to throw pitches out of the zone and hope they chase. And when you see Olson taking those pitches and taking his walks, and when you see Acuna doing the same thing, you know, that's when you know those guys are really locked in. And it was good to see both those guys. I think they both had two homers in the series. You know, I think Riley is still probably a little, you know, in it in terms of a rut. He didn't really look like himself for most of the series and hasn't for going on a couple of weeks now, really. So it would be really nice. Riley usually hits the Mets pretty well. You know, I don't know how much that stuff is actually worth, but he does normally do pretty well against the Mets. And, you know, it would be very nice if Acuna, Riley, and Olson all showed up in a big way in this series, because those are your three. I mean, you know, Michael Harris has obviously been the best hitter on the team since he came up, but, you know, your three horses are Acuna, Riley, and Olson. Those are the guys that you pay to kind of lead your offense, and I don't know if all three of them have really gotten going at the same time at all this year. And, you know, it looks like Acuna and Olson are kind of turning a corner. It'd be nice to see Riley do the same and, you know, at least give the Mets the very best version of our lineup. I do agree with you. I think Contreras is going to at least DH in a couple of them, if not all three games, or he'll catch one. Obviously, Travis is not going to catch all three, but I think Contreras will be in the lineup all three games. He's just been too good not to. And, you know, whatever they do in this series is actually going to be a pretty strong parallel to what they do in the postseason. You know, you'll see the lineups you see this series are probably the lineups you see in the postseason. The rotation you see is going to be the same, assuming Strider can't pitch in the playoffs. We don't know that yet, but yeah, this will be kind of a preview for what the Braves are thinking come the playoffs.
You know, and like as we mentioned earlier, this you know, the Braves will have three games remaining after this. I don't think we can get out of this podcast without talking about the start Bryce Elder had earlier. You know, I can't remember a time since I've been I've been covering the Braves for sure, that I've seen a pitcher, you know, come up in April, pitch the way he did, you know, just, you know, struggled with walks. I mean, he had more walks than he had strikeouts through those first four appearances, and then come back at the end of the season and look like a completely different guy. You know, he's a complete game shutout. It's the only one of the season for the Braves, first one. Just, you know, I know it's the Nationals. I know, you know, he started. I have seen the expectations a little bit off the board. You know, he has made four starts. Two of them was against Miami. Two of them was against Washington. I would have liked to have seen him against a little bit better competition. But, you know, credit to him, because, I mean, he was thrown into the fire early. And then, you know, came out of that and went to Gwinnett, you know, pitched. And then came up here. And like I said, you can see the progress that he's made. But, you know, that was a great start. It was a great start in Washington, and it was one they really needed, was because, you know, when he was called up, it looked like he was going to be the long man, or he was going to make a spot start here or there. But when Strider went on the injured list, then he was pressed into duty. And, you know, he'll be lined up to start that first game in Miami.
Listen, complete game shutouts are one of the rarest things in baseball these days. It just doesn't happen. Starting pitchers just don't throw complete games anymore. I mean, you know, I don't have the numbers in front of me, but it's a minuscule amount of starts this year are complete game shutouts compared to 20, 30 years ago, or even 40 years ago when they were a lot more common. So it was a huge start. It gave the bullpen a day off, even though it wasn't a day off, you know, and anytime you're playing basically two straight weeks, if you're one of your starters can do that, then it's a free day off for the bullpen, and that alone is worth it, not to mention the fact that the Braves are in the middle of a heated pennant race and need every win they can get. And so it was just massive. I am very impressed with Elder. You know, he started, I think he started like three or four games in April this year, and he just didn't look like this guy. He was walking a bunch of guys. He had a five-walk game and a six-walk game, I think, in April, and it just looked like a guy who probably wasn't really ready for the big leagues. And he talked about this a little bit after the game about, you know, he was trying to hit corners all the time back in April, and it was just walking guys left and right. And you know, since he's come up, he's more just try to aim for the middle of the plate and let the natural movement of his pitches take it to the corners. And we saw, I mean, that's basically what we saw all night. I mean, he had that two-seamer really, really moving, you know, Snit said that I think his best inning of the night was the ninth inning when he struck out those two guys with those just ridiculously nasty two-seamers that backed up back over the plate. And, you know, that's kind of his pitch, and he's got the sinker. And, you know, he doesn't strike a ton of guys out. He got decent strikeouts the other night, but he does survive off grounders and weak contact, and that can be a little inconsistent sometimes. But, yeah, I've been very impressed. He's not the same guy he was in April, and I don't know what his role is going to be on the playoff roster. I wouldn't be surprised if he's on the roster just as, you know, bullpen depth. I don't think he's going to start a game, though. If Strider's not healthy, then, you know, who knows? I didn't think Kyle Wright was going to start a World Series game either, but, you know, that stuff happens. So I do think he's probably earned his way on the playoff roster, and, you know, good for him. I mean, nobody really had him being a contributor, and, you know, he's just one more rookie that's kind of come up and saved the Braves, you know, saved the Braves bacon, just like so many of the other ones have.
Jake Odorizzi struggled again tonight. Well, I say struggled. I don't think he was sharp. I don't think he was near as bad as what my Twitter feed looked. But, you know, it is concerning for him. He hasn't looked the same since he had that start skipped. You know, for what they called arm fatigue, and to be honest, you know, he didn't look too great before that, as far as that goes. But you know, his defense hurt him tonight. Eddie Rosario, that one of the runs he gave up was unearned. Eddie Rosario had an error, and then the inning that he exited in, Austin Riley made an error behind him too. That, you know, if he makes that play, maybe there's a chance Odorizzi gets out of that inning. You know, I saw a lot of stuff that said that this is probably his last start. I don't think so. I think he's going to start next Tuesday, especially if, you know, if that game doesn't mean anything. but they don't, they're not a ton of options, you know, at this point, you know, at that, and I'm not sure, you know, we'll talk a minute about Wednesday's game, but, you know, I don't know if they would consider going bullpen game for two straight days or whatnot. And, you know, there's no denying Odorizzi struggled. But like I said, you know, Ian Anderson's hurt. Mike Soroka's shut down for the season. You know, you're down to Kyle Muller was just demoted. And I mean, unless there's a, you know, unless there's an injury, they can't bring him back. I guess that, you know, you could put somebody on the injured list and Muller would be an option there as well. But, you know, I do wonder, I think Elder gets, I had always figured that Odorizzi probably goes to the bullpen in the postseason because he kind of pitched out of that role with Houston last year. But I think the Elder takes that job now, you know, if they go that route. And, you know, I just don't think you can, I think Odorizzi's runs about over, but I do think he's got at least one more start just because they don't have anybody else really.
It definitely, I would definitely raise my eyebrows when they option Muller, I think today or yesterday, I can't remember what day it was, but because, you know, the first thing I thought of was, well, you know, when you option a pitcher, it's obviously 15 days until you can bring him back unless there's an injury. And I don't think the Braves are going to want to put somebody on the IL this close to the playoffs. And so, you know, for all intents and purposes, it looks like his contributions to the team are probably over. And so my first thought was, well, who's going to pitch in Miami? I think I even sent it in our Slack group, like, who's going to pitch that Miami series? Because obviously all the main guys are pitching the Met series, and, you know, you want to kind of save them for the postseason. But you brought up a good point about potentially, you know, if that game does end up mattering, you know, they will have Max Fried available to pitch in that series if those Miami games end up being critically important. So I guess that's an option. But, you know, if those games aren't important and, you know, everything's decided before then it will be interesting to see who they pitch. I don't even know, you know, the Braves are so far down on options. Other than a bullpen game, I don't even really know who they would choose. There might be somebody in the minors that I'm not thinking of that could potentially do a spot start. But, yeah, it'll be interesting to see what they do. But ideally, in a best-case scenario, you know, it would probably be good for the Braves if that Miami series mattered, because that would mean that, you know, the Braves could still win the division, and to do so, they just have to beat Miami, which, you know, given how far back they were at one point this year, if you told them that they just had to beat Miami a couple times at the end of the year to win the division, they would have taken it in a heartbeat. So I would love for those games to matter at this point. I think the Mets are obviously the clear favorite to win the division, just if you look at the odds. But I would love to get to the point next week where we're playing three against Miami and you know, everything is still up for grabs.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, I think my questioning was, you know, why drop Fried in on Friday? And then, you know, our discussion today in the Slack group was just, it kind of answered that question, because they could bring Fried back next Wednesday if they needed to, if that game mattered. So, you know, that's interesting. And we, you know, they called up Silvino Bracco from Gwinnett today, I think, to serve as a multi-inning option if they need him in mop-up duty. You know, he could be an option to start as an opener. Freddie Tarnox on the 40, they could do that. Alan Rangel just went down, so he probably wouldn't be an option. But if that game doesn't matter and they want to call up a guy, you know, somebody like Freddie Tarnox could probably come up and give them three or four innings anyway. So, you know, I don't know. I'm like you. I hope all those games matter. I think if you're going to use Odorizzi, I think tonight was the blueprint. You know, it was pretty clear. He was coming out the way they had the bullpen going. He was coming out after two times through the order. That's the way you use him. And I mean, you know, I don't think they'll do that with Charlie Morton, but he's approaching that a lot quicker than what we saw last year. You know, so unless he's just, I don't think the Braves will do that, but I do think they may have the bullpen ready a lot sooner than what we saw in the regular season. So, you know, that Miami series, like I said, it could be important. But as you mentioned, you know, the big guns are going in this Mets series. So, you know, the back half of that rotation is going to have to pitch. And, you know, there's no Ian Anderson or anybody to call up this time. And, you know, Kyle Muller could be an option, but they'll have to put somebody on the injured list. And, you know, that would mean, like you mentioned, that would mean knocking them out of the postseason roster, out of contention for it.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting. And like I said, I would love to get to the point next week where that all of this matters, because that means the Braves are still in it. And, you know, they're through the Mets series and they just have to beat the Marlins to win the division. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see. All right, Chris, we're going to do a Twitter mailbag and then we're going to get out of here. It's already been a long show and obviously a long night because we didn't start recording until after the game was over. So I'm going to jump right into these. Per usual, and I'm going to admit I kind of forgot to send this tweet out and send it out basically right before the Braves lost. So Twitter was not in a very good mood when I sent this out. But we still got a couple of good questions, so I'm going to ask you. All right, first question. Vaughn Grissom or Orlando Arcia in the Mets / postseason series? Who are you going with?
You know, that's a great, you know, I almost put this on the rundown just to talk about it. I think Arcia started three straight games. Obviously, he has torched the Nationals all season long. I mean, if you look at his splits versus the Nationals versus the rest of the league, it's laughable. I mean, it's unreal when you look at that. Five of his nine home runs come against Washington, so I think that definitely played the part. But you're also seeing Grissom struggle a little bit. You know, I think I was looking at his stats today. He's like 6-for-36 over his last 12 games. The defense hasn't been quite solid. You know, I think if at this point, I'm not giving up on him or anything like that. But I'm not surprised that they're at least dusting off Arcia a little bit too, you know, in this situation. My reasoning today was if neither of those guys are going to hit, go with a better defender, and that's probably Arcia at this point. You know, I don't think it's an indictment on Grissom if he goes to a bench role now. I mean, to me, he's shown that he can be a piece of this club going forward, you know, in a variety of, whether that's at, you know, an infield or a utility guy or maybe even in the outfield down the road. But, you know, as we've spent this whole podcast talking about, every one of these starts matter. Every one of these games matter right now. So you've got to do what you got to do to try to win them. I'm going to guess Grissom makes one start in that Mets series, and I think Arcia gets the other two. You know, but it's still going to be a kind of a fluid situation going down the stretch.
I genuinely believe that Snit is just kind of going with a hot hand right now. You know, he started Arcia in that first game against Washington because of his numbers against Washington, and then Arcia hit a home run in the first two games, and so, you know, he started him in for a third game, and I don't think Orlando got a hit tonight, so I wouldn't be surprised to see Grissom start tomorrow. If Grissom gets a couple hits, I wouldn't be surprised to see Grissom the whole series. I mean, I really think, you know, love him or hate him, you know, agree or disagree, I think Snit is very much whoever he thinks is going to win tonight for whatever reason. Sometimes it's not always logical. That's who he's going to play. And I could see it being the same thing in this Mets series. I could see it being the same thing in the postseason, depending on who they play. You know, if one guy's got better numbers against a pitcher or against a team, I could see that being the reason. I don't think there's enough that separates either one of these guys. I agree with you. I don't think either. You know, I know Grissom's got a really hot start, but I'm not sure either is you really trust to be a great hitter at this point. You know, Grissom might end up one day being a great hitter. I don't know if he's there yet. I think Orlando's the better defender, and that, you know, you're probably right. That probably is going to end up winning the day. So, but we'll see. It is an interesting question, and I knew we talked about talking about it on the show, so I wanted to make sure to get in there. All right, next question. So you have catcher, DH, and left field, right, coming up in the Mets series and in the postseason. Catcher, DH, and left field. And you have Darnell, Contreras, Ozuna, Rosario, and Grossman kind of for those spots. So, Chris, I'm going to ask you, how would you manage those three spots, both in this upcoming series and for the postseason?
I'd go with Darnell and Contreras, either at catcher and DH, pretty much the whole way, I think. And then in the outfield, I'm leaning towards a platoon with Rosario and Grossman. Grossman starting against the lefties, and then Rosario starting against the righties. And then Ozuna is just going to become my bench bat. you know, if you need him to pinch hit or whatever. I think Contreras and Darno, I mean, I know it seems like a lot of times Contreras starts at DH, and then when Darno gets that day off, they don't DH him. They did that once on the road trip, but I think in the postseason, I don't think you're going to really want to take Darno's bat out. I mean, he's caught every single game of the last two postseasons. You know, so I don't see him coming out of the lineup. Really, I'd see Contreras probably getting the bulk of DH at bats, but that's the way I would line it up. I'd go with the platoon in left that was originally planned, and that's not the worst thing now that Rosario's kind of swinging the bat a little better than what he has all season.
You and I were talking about this on Slack the other day, which is why I picked this as one of the questions, but you know, I agree with you 100%. I think they'll DH, you know, the catcher DH will basically just be the two catchers, and that'll be that. And I do think we'll see Rosario a decent amount just because of his experience, what he did last year. You know, depending on who the Braves get in the postseason and whether it's the wild card round or the division round, it does look like they're going to get a decent amount of right-handed started pitching. And so I think that would lead more to Rosario. And so I think Contreras, Darno, Rosario is going to be the, you know, if you looked at those three positions, catcher, DH, left field, I think that's going to be probably the most used combination. And yeah, so we'll see how it goes, but that would be my guess too. All right, so the rest of the comments and questions were basically just four-letter expletives about how the game went, so I'm not gonna go through those like verbatim. So yeah, we can wrap it up there.
All right, yeah, that's pretty good. Like I said, Twitter's been on edge for a while now.
Yeah, you know, they were not happy.
So that's probably a good thing. But, you know, it is an interesting question. You know, I've seen a lot of Ozuna's, you know, Ozuna's played better. I mean, there's no denying that. He's hit better of late. But at this point, you know, he'd still be behind. He'd still be down the pecking order for me as far as this goes, just because I just don't trust him. I mean, I've seen, you know, we're nearly 600 plate appearances. I just don't trust him to be great. Can he run into one? Yeah, but I think there's a better chance of guys like Rosario or Contreras running into one, honestly, than Ozuna at this point. So,
yeah. Well, there you go. I'll ask this. I'll add a question since Twitter was so angry when I sent my tweet. But do you see? And you and I have talked about this in Slack, but I'll let you give your answer to the podcast. Do you think there's a scenario? Do you see a scenario where Ozuna gets left off the playoff roster?
I don't see it now, just because I don't think. I mean, if it comes down to him or Adrianza, I don't think you have to go with Adrianza, because you've still got you've got Arcia, you've got Grissom that can play on the infield. You know, I know we speculated hard about it, about him not being on the playoff roster, but I think he's recovered enough at this point. But, you know, I don't know that he's going to see a regular role. Obviously, we could be surprised, you know, at any point. But and if he gets hot, like you said, he's been playing Snit's been playing the hot hand. And he's really, you know, people didn't notice it too much until this Washington series when Arcia replaced Grissom. But he's been doing it in the outfield, too. You know, Grossman was playing well. He was starting to get a lot of at bats against right-handers. You know, now he slumped a little bit. Rosario's gotten a chance. Ozuna's gotten a chance. You know, I just don't think at this point, however they line up, I won't complain too bad, but I don't think you want to go into any situation where Ozuna's in left field, not in the games that matter. They've gotten away with it a good bit down the stretch, actually. You know, and to me, that's the worst case scenario. You know, is I think the worst thing that could possibly happen was Acuna to be banged up enough that he's got a DH one of these postseason games, because then the Braves are just a much worse team, you know, if it comes to that. So, yeah, Ozuna's on the roster for me now, but, you know, I think it's a bench role.
Yeah. And you and I talked about this, I think, a couple of days ago, and I tend to agree with you. Also, I think we did figured out that you have to have 13 position players on your post. Did we ever figure out if that was right?
I'm still trying to confirm that, but yeah. My understanding is the regular season roster rules carry over to the postseason. So
yeah.
If that's not the case, then we need to come back and talk about this again next week. But if that is the case, then I think he's safe.
Yeah, and that was the other point, is if you have to carry 13 position players, you know, with the DH, it's actually not that easy to do, and Ozuna would almost make it just kind of by default, because it's not really that easy to add 13 position players without Ozuna. So I agree with you. All right, that's it. That's all for the questions.
All right, yeah, we'll do it. We'll definitely do it again next week. It looks like, you know, obviously we're in the final steps of the regular season. We're going to have wall-to-wall playoff coverage. It looks like Steven and I will be back next week to possibly preview the wild card round. Hopefully, we're not. We're talking about something else, and Brad and the main show previewed the division series. But we'll just see how that goes. After that, we're planning on podcasts after each playoff game in some combination. And then, you know, when we get a chance, Steven and I will jump back in here, you know, break something down in depth. Do appreciate all the support we've gotten for the show. We love the name now, even though we went, 12 or 13 episodes without a nameless. Love the name.
We got it eventually. Yeah. We got it eventually.
So, you know, it's been fun doing this every week. I think this is our 15th episode, and, you know, we're planning on it. I don't know what the schedule will look like for the off season, but, you know, we're definitely going to keep this going, so we'll see about it. But you know, give us a look, follow and review wherever you get your podcasts, and you know, be sure and check the site out, and we'll be back next week.